Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Of course, in the book of Deuteronomy, this prayer is given to us through Moses, and it's really probably without much doubt the most important prayer in the Jewish tradition. Jewish people even today are supposed to recite that prayer when they rise in the morning. They're supposed to recite it when they go to sleep at night. They're supposed to whisper it into the ear of a newborn baby. And you're supposed to say it as your last words before you die. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. Love him with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your strength. When you see, you know, Jewish people have sometimes for prayer, they wear this little box strapped to their heads and another little box strapped to their hands. They have a tiny scroll inside that has that prayer in it. And if you visit a Jewish home, my dad's Jewish now, you know, sometimes on the doorpost, they have there's a little box nailed to the doorpost, and it has the little scroll in it. Here, they call it the Shema. That's the first Hebrew word of the prayer, Shema, O Israel. The Lord is your God, the Lord alone. And so, of course, and I think today's readings show that it's a commonality with us, and it shows that there's a continuity, because Jesus himself, of course, says that that's the first commandment of the law. The commandments about loving your neighbor follow directly from that one. If our relationship with God is correct, then our relationships with others will, with work, begin to fall into place. Or I should say, if your relationship with God is incorrect, then how can you possibly have a correct relationship with others? How can you understand what it is that God wants for others? And how can you love your neighbor correctly? So in a way, it's comparable, like one of the most familiar and repeated prayers for us Christians is the Our Father. And it would be worthy of a good meditation to think about this Shema, O Israel, compared to the Our Father, and how it sort of, well, it takes up the theme and completes it by saying, okay, not only is God one, and are we to love him with our whole hearts, he also tells us to call him Father. And he's not simply worthy of love because of his greatness and because of his power and because he commands it, but because he has asked us to enter in to that family relationship with him. And so that's a great theme that's worthy of praying on in these times. And perhaps, you know, this prayer was given to the Jewish people when they were wandering in the desert after the Lord had called them out of slavery. And that's a good thing to think about. This prayer is associated with freedom from slavery, because no longer are they slaves in Egypt, no longer are they slaves of all the contending claims to divinity and obedience that's in the world, but they and we are servants of the one God, and every other form of obedience is based on that first one, that first and most important one. And I think it's also worth, somebody's not completely happy about all this, but that's okay. I think it's also worth thinking about You know, the phrase is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know, these days we often think of the heart as simply a matter of emotions. And yes, the relationship with the Lord should bring us a lot of joy and a lot of consolation. But at its deepest meaning, loving the Lord with all your heart simply means a matter of choosing him over anything that could possibly get in the way. That means choosing him over any form of sin, and when we find ourselves guilty of sin, repenting. And I think it's something that we can think about it, particularly in our days, when we are very aware of that relationship with the Lord and of how that unifies us, then all our differences and all our perhaps sources of contention and enmity become less important. Yes, there are things to argue about. For some reason I have this idea that there might be some sort of election coming up. I don't know. Maybe if you've been awake over the last few months, you probably know that. And it's interesting to think of how, you know, when the world has started to lose faith and lose devotion to God, our politics has become more contentious. But I just encourage us all to take a step back and, yes, vote the way that your conscience and your judgment tells you, but also sort of take a step back and realize, even if you're not happy with the results, that the Lord is our God and the relationship with him is number one, and loving your neighbor as yourself is not ultimately a matter of politics. It's a matter of personal choice and personal action. And so when Jesus talks to the scribe, and the scribe, it seems perhaps that he's just asking another question to trap Jesus and try to find him giving the wrong answer. And then maybe he's moved by his answer. He says, yes, Lord, you're right. That's a wonderful answer. And Jesus says, you are not far from the kingdom. You're not there yet. He has not made his act of faith in Jesus, but he's not far. And we can imagine perhaps that from this incident, he begins to watch Jesus, and he begins to see that through his actions, particularly going to his death on the cross, he's showing that he's living out that commandment, loving the Lord with his whole heart, with his whole soul, and with his whole strength. And it makes us realize, well, we are not able to do that, are we? We're certainly not able to do it on our own. And so we have faith in Jesus, who loved and obeyed the Lord properly, and through grace and through faith gives us the ability to participate and to more and more, through the practice of the Eucharist, begin to ask that our hearts become more and more like his, and that we may love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Amen.